Good evening. Welcome to Council Connection for February. I'm your host, Steve Dresser. Tonight we'll be talking with Nona Heroyan about our spring convention, which is coming up in March. Nina Kagan will tell us about our BSCB annual auction. Bob Hesche will put our new Fillmore system through its paces. But we'll start with an update from BSCB President Brian Charlson. Good evening, Brian, and Happy New Year. I can't say I'm going to be the first to wish you that greeting, but I probably will be the last.
Probably that's true.
Well, but it's been a long time since we've talked, sir.
Yeah.
And I imagine there's much that you have to tell us.
Well, odds and ends anyway.
Yeah.
One is we had a spectacular fall conference.
We did.
And we call it the fall conference, but it happens in November. So, nonetheless, we had a really good fall conference. Thank you, David Kingsbury, for taking the lead on that. He did a spectacular job.
He did.
Had good attendance. Yeah. I thought an excellent program.
Yes.
I listened to some recordings thereafter, and it seemed like an awfully good conference. Especially, I liked the focused way we discussed transportation.
Yes.
In the second half of the day.
Yes.
So that's happened. The only other real, quote, event, other than all of our chapters having their holiday parties, and that keeps people hopping.
Yes.
But also, we had one social event, another bowling event, led by our board member, Rose Miller.
Yeah.
And it was quite successful.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I'm in the process of scanning in a wonderful donation from the Woburn Lions Club.
Oh.
$200 donation that they presented as they were volunteering at that bowling event.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a positive thing when we get other entities to know who we are. And this is just one step in what the board's involved with in terms of narrowing the annual deficit that we run. Now, one of the things the board is talking about is making a pretty radical change next year. I'm really proud of the board. We held a special, separate of the standard board meeting to discuss what we were going to do about our finances.
Yes.
I want to make it clear to the membership that we're by no means headed toward being broke.
No.
We do have an excellent investment policy and have set aside an initial investment of $100,000 with the goal of living, however, within our means. So what we raise in a year is what we can spend in a year. And that being the case, the board has stepped up to the plate, started working out some ideas on how we can fill what amounts to about a $5,000 deficit each year. We do great with the auction at the convention.
Yep.
We've done well through the president's team doing the Brenda Dillon walk, but we really need to do a little bit more of raising money outside of the membership.
Well, because the reality is you can just milk so much money out of the members. I mean, it's just whether you want to or not, you just can't. No money to be had.
Right. Our conferences are not money makers.
Absolutely not.
They are not money makers. So when we talk about raising money from our members, we do get a really good response from our members donating to underwrite the cost of the convention.
Right.
We do get donations throughout the year. In fact, many people, when they pay their dues, add a little something to that check in order to support the good works of the organization. And again, if you come to the auction, you are and you're spending money there, you're walking away with some nice items that are, again, themselves donated, either from businesses, chapters, or individual members. Now, I have to say that that the chair of the convention banquet auction has done some pretty good arm twisting already this year.
Yes.
But we are looking at modifying a few things in our year. We'd like to hold a true gala that would be a meal and entertainment and fundraising opportunity.
Similar to the kind of thing that NBP and other
NBP, groups. Perkins,
they
hold these things as well. Ours is probably going to start on a smaller scale than that.
Yeah.
But we nonetheless expect that we can sell tickets to non-members.
Right.
To bolster the size of the audience and the underwrite the cost of all, like I say, the good works that we do in the course of the year.
Sure.
So what we'll be doing is a dramatically less expensive meal event.
Right.
That will be something that us everyday people can afford to buy tickets to go to.
Right. But with the idea of bringing in people from the outside who are going to do the same.
Absolutely.
Which is something that's kind of hard to do at our convention.
Exactly.
Because, you know, again, that's people see that as specifically kind of within our own group. You know, it's for us, by us, but not
exactly.
For anybody else.
So I think that's all to the good, and I'm really proud of the board to have full participation in these efforts.
Yeah.
We are very lucky that everybody that's been elected to the board is contributing in one form or another.
Yes.
And, you know, every once in a while we have a member who goes way out of their way, and once again, Jerry Boucher is going to be a major sponsor of the conference. And we very, very much appreciate his annual contribution in that regard.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's not all money, though. There's an awful lot of other things going on. We have just done some of the final paperwork for seeing what we can do to make HBO accessible.
Oh,
now, we've already got agreements in there. In fact, the Netflix agreement that we had 5 years ago has now expired, but they are agreeing to keep the dialogue going to make sure that that continues to be accessible.
Now, does that mean that because it's expired, we kind of have to start from the ground up again, or can we build on what we had?
It's always build on what we have.
Ah, good.
When I say it expired, you know, we monitor at a certain level throughout that five-year period. We won't redo the arrangement unless they backslide.
Okay.
If they backslide, then we certainly have every intention, and they understand that,
yes,
that this was setting the bar. Now, you do this well or better.
Right.
As time goes on. And we have a similar one out there with Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
But the Hulu one, that's not easy to say.
It is not.
Is a younger thing. We're only in the first, even a year yet on that one.
Yep.
So they have some time to come into compliance. But that, again, is a multi-year agreement with a significant amount of monitoring that we'll do to assure that.
Mm-hmm.
So we keep moving forward. We haven't had to do similar things with Amazon and their streaming service, because they absolutely include audio description and accessibility in their app. It's not all we'd like it to be, but it is a good faith effort on their part. Now what we have to concern ourselves is how do we deal with the fact that Apple's going to come out with a streaming service, Disney's coming out with a streaming service, all of this going away from traditional television to streamed services, and everybody competing. You know, we don't have the wherewithal. I'm talking about just the time in the day to chase each one of these entities down the way we have the original ones.
You'd never do anything else.
Exactly. So we're looking at now, what do we do going forward? If we have HBO, Netflix, and Hulu, and Amazon on board, can we just kind of do it through might be legislation to say that this is now proven to be readily achievable? So now all those who are licensed to provide this service need to provide it at a certain minimum level of accessibility.
Now, that sounds like a good thing, but I remember a few years ago you gave a very interesting talk at one of our conventions talking about the many differences from one company to another that make all of this so difficult. And I guess my question is, doesn't that still exist, those kinds of differences, or are they becoming less as we get more and more streaming services?
They're becoming less as we get more streaming services. What really has driven that change, though, is the marketplace, just okay. In general. Used to be that we couldn't, for example, get Dish
right
to dish up audio description.
Yes.
Because they were bouncing everything off satellites.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, for each program, they'd have to send up a second signal that is the secondary audio programming.
Okay.
So it would double their bandwidth that they'd have to have.
Right.
On the other hand, fiber optics, even though they can carry a lot of information, they are by no means carrying all the information they can.
Yeah.
They have bandwidth to spare mm-hmm. in that environment.
Yes.
So Dish has changed a lot of how they do things so that now Dish is dealt with through repeaters of different kinds. So new technologies have come out that have helped them not be entirely reliant on putting a satellite dish on your house.
Oh, okay,
in order
yes.
to get, you see.
Well, and of course, some of that satellite stuff was susceptible to rain and clouds and other
and
things
that,
yeah.
Exactly. So the technology has changed, and so while there certainly are differences, again, in the Hulu environment that we were talking about a moment ago, the Hulu is a hybrid. You know, it's not like a Netflix in that everything is on demand.
Right.
Hulu is a mix of on demand and rebroadcasting, if you will,
okay,
of standard channel programming.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a live component to it.
Okay.
And unfortunately, the technology that they're using, that live component, does not have the capacity for secondary audio programming.
Ah.
So to adjust to that, you know, current state of the art, so to speak, they do take everything that they stream today and make it available on demand tomorrow.
Okay.
And once it's on demand, they have the bandwidth to provide SAP.
Right.
Audio description capability.
So the only thing we lose then is the instantaneousness of the broadcast. We have to be willing to wait the 24 hours.
Precisely.
Okay.
Precisely. And again, we expect that that's going to change because competition is not going to allow for that kind of thing to last very long.
Well, and isn't another part of this whole picture the fact that so many more services are cutting the cable, so to speak, and people are doing much more on their phones and their iPads and their tablets and you name it?
The answer is yes. The whole nature of how we're consuming content is changing. So it's kind of like the whole issue of accessible paper currency.
Mm-hmm.
There'll come a point in our society where the majority of people never have cash.
Yeah.
So, and we've been waiting for now nearly two decades to get accessible currency, even though we won the case.
Yes.
And I'm sure that part of the Bureau of Engraving and Printing is doing the stall game,
yeah,
thinking that maybe tech will catch up with things and it won't be necessary.
Yeah.
I
think that's going to be a while.
Don't hold to that point of view. I think it's going to take longer to go all paperless.
Well,
when it comes to such things.
We've already seen what happened with Bitcoin. I mean, it was, you know, when it first came out, it was the be-all and end-all. And then all of a sudden people started going, well, maybe it's not quite what we thought it was.
Exactly. Exactly.
And, I mean, these things do take time to work out, no matter how great they seem when they initially hit the airwaves.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So up to this point, we've been kind of talking about some of the things we have done. A little bit of the HBO is something that we're in the process of getting that ball rolling.
Mm-hmm.
Then the other thing that's upcoming is the mid-year meetings
that
ACB holds in Washington, D.C. There'll be a president's meeting day, and I'll be there in my capacity as president of Bay State.
Right.
And there'll be a legislative seminar, and then a day on the Hill.
Yes.
So we have a significant size group going, more than Bay State is paying for.
Mm-hmm.
Bay State, in our budget, agreed to send three individuals. That'll be myself, Cheryl Cummings, and Sharon Strakowski as the three that we pay for at least part of their costs of going.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, ACB got funding and reached out to younger members, and they're bringing in 10 people from around the country, three of which are coming from Massachusetts.
Oh.
They will be Daisy Russell.
Good.
The president of our student group here in Massachusetts.
Right.
Min Ha.
Who's the former president.
And is the president of the national student group.
Mm-hmm.
And Corey Cadlick, who is Bay State's social media person.
Right.
So now you add to that the fact that ACB's president is from the Bay State Council, Kim, and you add that the guy who runs the mics and helps with internet radio during the event is Rick Morin, so we have another person there. That's a sizable delegation to be there.
Pretty heavy concentration of folks from the Bay State.
Yep. So we will do well, and with the change in leadership in the House, a number of legislators here in the Bay State have significant roles. One of them is Representative Clark, my representative,
mm-hmm.
who is the vice chair of the Democrats on the House side. So she's kind of like a whip, as I understand it.
Okay.
So she has quite a bit of connection there. The new chair of Ways and Means is a Bay State rep. The new chair of, what do they call it now? It's a committee that sets rules.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think it's called the Rules Committee.
No, it's not. And I don't remember what it is either, but I know which one you mean.
But we have a significant, powerful delegation on the House side.
Yes.
Really, really significant. So having a decent-sized delegation coming down, making those new connections with new faces as well. You know, we have, two of our members of the House are new faces entirely. So we'll see some interesting times down there.
I think we will.
So one of the things I'd like to end this call with is to encourage everybody this time of year not to wait till their chapter president or our treasurer says it's time to renew your dues. It is that dues season.
Yes, it is.
So please be proactive in reaching out to pay your dues. I had three people come to me yesterday while I was at work and hand me their dues to get off to the right chapters and that kind of thing.
Mm.
Now, I will tell you very clearly that what it costs to run Bay State, the dues does not pay for much of it.
No, it really doesn't.
It's really, I know that not everybody can look at $15 or $20 as inexpensive, but the average cost per member is significantly higher than that in terms of the services that we provide to our membership. So I really encourage you to reach out and speak to your chapter leaders and get those dues in. I know that our treasurer, Rick Morin, has been spending a lot of time dealing with membership lists. We have to get them in by, I believe the date is mid-March.
Yes.
So he's busy working on those lists and making sure he's checking them twice. I tried to tell him he's Santa Claus, but he ain't buying it.
No, no. I'm afraid. I'm not surprised that he wouldn't.
Well, he's a hardworking treasurer.
Yes,
and
he is.
Another one of those people that we're very lucky to have in our leadership, not just being treasurer, but representing Bay State in terms of interacting with the MBTA in significant ways, dealing with monitoring not just the ride, but the quality of the entire system, and expanding through other people from the western part of the state there to include not just the MBTA, but all of the other regional transit authorities, RTAs, around the Commonwealth.
Yes, and that's was one of the gratifying things that came out of the fall conference was all of the emphasis on RTAs.
Exactly, exactly. So, Steve, the last one I'm going to say thank you to is you, because once again, you keep pounding away at more than one thing. Of course, Council Connection here, and we really do appreciate you getting that out over Radio Reading Services, as well as we're going to get it back up and running through a subscription through our website, which is another thing that you have quite a bit to do with, acbofma.org. A whole new look and feel to our website. It's exciting to see that all coming together so well, getting more and more content up there. I talked to David Kingsbury today, and he got a conference page up, so people can go there and click through to the conference registration process.
Mm-hmm.
It's excellent.
That's a good thing, as is the registration itself, which I believe Frank had something to do with. And
exactly.
We've got a lot of us working on a lot of different things, so nobody gets it all dumped on them individually.
Exactly.
It all kind of – the load is distributed amongst us all.
Exactly. You know, we are a community.
Yes.
And we've never been the kind of community where there was a high mucky-muck leadership and then everybody else was kind of field hands. We all get our hands dirty working on the good works.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just as likely to find the ACB president selling candy bars for her local chapter.
I've seen that happen.
Hearing her in other capacities. That's what ACB is all about. Very, very grassroots.
Yes, yes. Well, I am looking forward, of course, to seeing you in March at the spring conference, as I am looking forward to seeing a whole bunch of other people. Thank you again for bringing us up to speed on everything that's happening here. And again, Happy New Year, even though it's a little late.
2019.
Yes, I
shudder thinking about having to type 2020 not too far in the future.
Thanks, Brian.
Good night now.
You're listening to Council Connection on the Talking Information Center Network. The show also airs on the second Tuesday of the month on ACB Radio Mainstream at 9 p.m. Eastern. You can find past shows in the Council Connection archive at www.acbfma.org. Before you know it, it'll be time for the annual BSCB Spring Conference and Convention, this year held at the Burlington Marriott in Burlington, Massachusetts, on March 8th, 9th, and 10th. Nona Haroyan, the program coordinator for the convention, has joined us tonight to tell us what's in store at this annual event. Well, Nona, it's good to have you on the show, and you're going to be talking about something that is very important to all of us, and that is our spring conference.
Yeah.
So to get us started, when is the great event taking place?
It is the weekend of March 8th, 9th, and 10th at the Burlington Marriott in Burlington. Looking forward to it. It's I feel like we on the program committee have been talking about this event for quite a while, so it's good to know that it's right around the corner now.
Yeah, well, you folks have been working on this since probably back in
September.
I was just
going to
say,
September.
September. So, and that's something that I think it's important for people to know, that these things don't just grow out of the ground, so to speak. They take a lot of planning and a lot of work and a lot of coordination. And I give everybody on the convention committee and program committee in particular a lot of credit here, because without you folks, this just doesn't happen.
Thank you. And that brings me to taking this opportunity to thank the members of my committee. We worked really well together, and everyone, I want to thank them for all their ideas, suggestions, their follow-through. And the members were Sharon Strakowski, Diana Leonard, Ann Donna, Howard Sumner, and Jerry Barrier. And, of course, Frank Ventura is always a constant presence and gives us so much help.
Right. And he, of course, is the convention coordinator, without whom not too much happens.
Yeah, that he has a very tough job.
Yes, he does. He does. Well, now that we've given credit where credit is due, let's talk about the program itself. What's going to be happening?
Well, I think we have a very wide variety of programs and panel discussions for the whole weekend. We've kind of started doing something to kind of kick off the weekend, something very mind, body, spirit kind of oriented. We're going to be doing a kind of guided taekwondo start to our whole convention, which I think will be interesting.
And that's Friday afternoon, right?
That starts off the convention, yes. Friday afternoon. And we're also going to be, which I think is a very important issue right now, is dealing with real ID. So we're having somebody from the registry come and speak to us about getting that process going for all of us. It's something that we all need to deal with, and I'm sure a lot of our members will have questions about that.
Yeah, because this year is the year, isn't it, that all that's supposed to happen?
I think so, because it goes into effect in 2020, so yeah.
Yes. And I remember making a mental note about it when the notices came out a while ago, and now I forgot about it. So it's a good thing you said it, and it's a good thing we're going to be talking about it, because I'm sure I'm not the only one.
Definitely. And the rest of that afternoon, we're going to be, we have a member here in our Central Massachusetts chapter, Karen Santiago, who's the editor of The Blind Perspective. It's a monthly newsletter that I think is really an outstanding newsletter. And
okay.
She's going to come and speak to us about her newsletter and how she puts that all together. And and then we're going to be, hearing from the blind vendors, to talk about the program, opportunities within the program. And also on that day is kind of, we're ending Friday really dealing with employment issues. And that's going to be a panel discussion with Jennifer Harnish and Deanne Elliott.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, when you say blind vendors, you're talking about the people who run the various concession stands in different buildings?
Correct, the vending program.
Okay.
Yes.
So the person that I know who does that kind of thing is Rick Swan, and I'm sure he's not the only one.
Oh, no. Originally, we wanted Rick, but unfortunately, he has another commitment that weekend.
Oh, so too bad.
I know. But one of our members of our chapter is a retired vendor, and he's going to give his perspective,
okay,
as well as the current board chair of the organization, and just to let us know what's happening and what opportunities there are for members.
Okay. So this takes us up to, 5 o'clock on Friday?
That takes us up to 5 o'clock. And, of course, as usual, there's always the guide dog users and the students will have their meetings after.
Mm-hmm.
We have our hospitality suite, which this year, by a lot of requests that we heard, is going to be a very kind of non-structured evening, just a very an evening for people to just kind of get together and chat, and not have anything, a program, if you will. So I think that'll be really nice for everyone.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that, because a lot of times, and I found it last year that the convention is so busy, there's so much scheduled, and I felt kind of cheated at the end of it that I didn't really get a chance to sit with anybody and talk because, you know, Friday night when we could have done that, there was a lot of stuff going on in the hospitality lounge. And I felt like even though I could have talked to people, I didn't want to interrupt what was going on. So this is – I'm because, again, for some of us who are working behind the scenes as I am, I don't get to hang out with people during the convention. I'm stuck behind a table with a bunch of cables and wires and microphones and stuff.
That's right.
I don't mind doing that, but it does cut down on the time that I get to socialize. So Friday night, I'm really looking forward to Friday night.
Well, and that was kind of the input we had heard from a lot of people, Steve.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I think people will enjoy that. And then that brings us to Saturday.
Okay.
Saturday, as for those people who are not familiar with the convention, is very much the business day of the organization. There's a lot of procedural things that happen, but there's also a couple of areas, slots that we can put in program events. And for one thing, our keynote speaker will be coming from the AC board. He's Ray Campbell. He's the secretary of the board.
Yes, I know Ray. I've known Ray for many years.
So he'll be giving us an update from the board.
And he's quite dynamic anyway, so nobody's going to sleep through that.
I have not met him, so I'm looking forward to hearing, meeting and hearing what he has to say.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Kim Charleston, who always gives us our Perkins update, which will be great. And this year we really wanted to include our other of our other chapters, like Guide Dog Users and the students, so both chapters will be speaking on Saturday.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I think it's important that everyone, you know, gets to hear. We know that the students and Guide Dog Users always have their meetings on Friday night, and it'll be nice to hear from them and have them part of the, you know, the convention process.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
And then the last event for Saturday in terms of our program input is a panel discussion that's going to be led by Jerry Berrier on what brings us joy.
Okay.
And we thought that would, you know, that was Jerry's idea, and I think our members thought it would be interesting to have kind of that topic and a little thoughtful conversation with our members and kind of a little bit lighter considering the day is very heavy with a lot of business.
Yeah, yeah. And often topics like that are reserved for Sunday morning, but I think it's good to have them on Saturday because the thing that I've noticed is that on Sunday, sometimes the attendance is a little bit more sparse.
It is.
People have gone home. They've been through everything that they're really interested in the convention.
Sure.
So,
and some people straddle a little, you know, come in a little bit later because they're still recuperating from the auction from the night before.
That's true. And of course, that's brings us to the next event, which is the banquet and auction.
Yes. So our banquet speaker this year is Robin Sitton. She is both a commercial audiobook narrator and she's also an audio describer. Yeah, and we thought that would be a very interesting, you know, we wanted to keep things light at the banquet and entertaining, and I think she really fits the bill,
yes.
You know, with giving her perspective on doing, you know, theater audio description as well as, you know, doing, you know, commercial audiobooks.
Because
she's
right.
Not an NLS narrator. She's
okay. Okay, so she does not work for Perkins. She works for somebody else.
She does, yes.
Okay. Yeah, we've had readers from Perkins in the past, and of course that was always interesting. But I think this is an added benefit for us.
Sure. Yeah, she's been doing audio description here at the Hanover Theater in Worcester for quite a few years.
And,
looking forward to just kind of hearing her perspective. It'll be fun. Yeah, and then of course our auction, which is always. I give Nina King so much credit for what she does because
that is
a tough job. She and Frank are quite the combo. So
well, yeah, and last year we had Tim Cummings was the host of the auction, which was a break from the usual tradition that Brian, in years past, has been the one to be the presider of the auctioneer.
Yeah.
And he wasn't around last year, and Tim stepped right into the breach and did a very, very nice job. Is he going to be hosting it again this year, or are we back to Brian?
No, No, I believe it's Tim again.
Okay.
Looking forward to that.
Well,
he was very funny. Yeah.
Yes, he was. He was excellent. And that, again, is even though in a way it's somewhat more structured than the hospitality suite will be on Friday night, people kind of get to banter back and forth and razz each other about the bidding and challenge each other. And there have been some healthy bidding wars that have gone on at times on the auction floor.
And absolutely.
That is always part of what makes it fun.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll go, what, till 11 o'clock at night?
Usually it goes later, but it was so well organized last year that the hope is that it's going to flow just the same way and we should be done by 11.
Yeah, yeah, which, of course, will give everybody time to wind down, as it were, and hopefully be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed on Sunday morning when they come back in.
Sure, sure.
Or not.
Or not.
Yeah, we never know, do we?
We don't. And that leads us to Sunday. And,
And
Sunday is, as you said, is kind of a more relaxed, you know, relaxed day of the convention since it's winding down.
Right.
We do have Tanya Milojevic, who will be, she's an award-winning, a voiceover.
Yes, yes. I've known that about her, yeah. But I've never heard any of the things that she's done.
And I believe she also writes and produces her own radio
Yes, I think I knew that. And again, I'm going to be very interested in what she has to say to us on Sunday.
And we also have a panel discussion that's going to be led by Frank Ventura, and Ray Campbell's wife, Karen Campbell, is going to be participating as well, dealing with hearing loss. Which we've heard from some members that's definitely some issues that they're dealing with and how people cope with that.
Yes, and I think sometimes we, not intentionally, but we kind of forget about that, and it's good that the program is going to be including that as well.
Yes, yes. So again, it's just a very, a lighter day. There's going to be some tech talk. I believe Frank Ventura and Tim Cummings are actually going to give us a little, little tech information. That's always interesting for people, we're looking forward to a calmer, less structured day. And of course, there's still procedural things to take care of. There'll be the legislative report, by Deanne Elliott
and treasurer's report at some point
exactly.
by Rick,
and transportation, and, which is always a huge thing.
So the committee reports are scheduled for Sunday, right?
Exactly.
Yeah,
yes.
Except of course for. Nominations committee, which has to do its thing on Saturday because the elections are on Saturday, right?
Correct. We're having the directors, I believe, are up for election this year.
I believe you're right.
Yes. So it will definitely be that. That's the business end of Saturday, right?
And resolutions, happen Saturday. And if there are any constitutional amendments, they will happen Saturday.
Exactly.
As yet, I have not heard anything, so we may not have any this year. I don't know.
I know. I have not. I haven't heard either, who's chairing the nominating committee or, at the banquet, there's always awards that are presented as well, and I haven't heard any info on that as well.
Folks are playing their cards close to the vest.
I think so.
Yeah. Well, and that's okay as long as they're playing them.
Exactly.
Well, Nona, thank you for filling us in on all the good things that are happening here. And again, thank you for all of the work that you and your committee have done.
Thank you very much for having me and looking forward to seeing everyone come March.
Well, thank you for joining us this month, and I will see you in March at the Burlington Marriott.
Definitely.
You can register online for our annual spring conference and convention at www.acbofma.org/spring-convention-registration. Or, if you prefer, you can call Rick Morin at 617-633-7947. The closing date for registration is March 3rd, so please be sure you sign up before then. One of the highlights of our spring convention is our annual auction. It takes a lot of planning to make it happen, and Nina Kagan has joined us tonight to give us a peek behind the scenes. You have been our auctioneer our auction lady, I guess, not the auctioneer, because usually Brian or Tim or somebody else does that. But you've been doing this job, what, for 3 or 4 years now?
This is the fourth year that I am the auction committee chairperson.
So tell me, what does one do as the auction committee chairperson?
Well, I contact potential donors, and we try to get items donated, and we also tell people about the auction so people will come, and I do a lot of organizing and facilitating.
And you've got a committee of people that work with you, I guess, a couple of them anyway, right?
Yes, this year we have a small committee. There's, besides myself, there are three other people on the committee.
Okay.
And we have to contact businesses and other people who have promised to donate items. And it's a lot of reaching out to people, telling them about Bay State, hoping they'll sponsor us by donating an item. And then lots of times we have to email them and send them a copy of a letter that has our tax ID number on it. And so it's a lot of reaching out and then having to go and get items. If people don't feel like donating things, sometimes they'll give me other places to contact.
So it's not just as easy as walking into a place and saying, "Hi, here I am. I'm represent the Bay State Council of the Blind. How about a gift or two?" It's not like that at all, is it?
No, it's not. It used to be like that, but nowadays it's not like that. It's all about making relationships and contacting a place. And then after you contact them, you have to send them an email, or if you go on their website and fill out forms on their donor pages. And then after you do that, you have to reach back out to them and remind them that you've already sent them the email or filled out the form. And after you do all that, then hopefully they send you something. And if not, you call them back again and remind them about the good work that Bay State does, and hopefully they'll send us something.
So really, as much as anything else, you have to be a salesperson to sell the organization that is BSCB.
Oh, yes, that's a big part of it. It's a lot of community outreach.
What's the percentage of businesses versus our own people that donate?
I would say probably 50-50.
Really?
It might be a little less, a little more, depending on the year.
Mm-hmm.
We still have a month to go before the auction.
That's
so
right.
I can't really give you an exact percentage right now.
Right. Certainly in that month, hopefully, not only will you have success with the businesses that you're asking, but hopefully people will be stepping up to the plate, as it were, and making their own contributions. And how would they go about doing that? If I've got a burning desire to donate something to you, what do I do?
So they can reach out to me. They can email me at nina@littlebreezes.com, or they can call me at 617-699-4714. Tell me the name of the item and the value of the item, and then I will arrange for them to either mail it to me, or they can bring it the day of the auction, or if they're not going to be there the day of the auction, they can bring it, if they're coming Friday to the conference, they could bring it Friday as well.
Right.
And like I was saying, they can either mail it to me or I can make arrangements with them to pick it up from them.
Okay. Those items sit on a table in the back of the hall or in the back of the room during the whole day Saturday, right?
Not the whole day Saturday.
Okay.
They do stay there for a while, but then we move them because we don't want anything to walk away.
That's true. We don't want things getting legs during the convention. That would not be good.
No, that wouldn't be. But
no.
For the most part, on Saturday, they are out for a while.
Okay.
And we do put them out during the cocktail hour and out sometimes like about a half an hour before that as well.
Oh, okay.
So people want to come by and see it.
Right.
But the last 2 years, we've had everything out on the table during the cocktail hour. So people can look at the items then if they don't get a chance to do it in the morning on Saturday.
Right. And that was kind of a change because it seems to me that before the last 2 years, we relied heavily on the items being described during the auction. But I seem to remember at some point it was decided, and I don't know quite how or by whom, that it was taking too long to describe everything during the auction. And, you know, the bar was closing and everybody was all of the staff wanted to go home, and we were still trying to get items sold because we were so busy describing them. So,
yes. And so the committee decided to just have everything out during the cocktail hour and just to, when we have the items, just tell people what it is quickly. And if someone has a question, they can ask then and we'll try to answer it when we're doing the bidding. But it was taking too long when people were passing items around the room because it's not like we have 10 people in the room. There's an awful lot of people, and
well, that's
it
right.
just took too long.
Oh, yeah, because there's a good, you know, 30 or 40 people that are there. And if you think about each person taking 2 minutes to look at something, which you certainly might have to do if it's something you've never seen before, I mean, you know, if everybody does that, an hour goes by and you still haven't sold the item.
Right, and that's why we decided to put everything out during the cocktail hour and people can come up and touch and look at it then.
Right, right. Now, who's our auctioneer this year? Is it going to be Brian or is it going to be Tim or is it going to be a surprise?
It's going to be Tim Cummings.
All right. He was great last year.
I
was kind of surprised because I wasn't sure what he was going to do. I mean, you know, when I heard, because I've, of course, ever since I've come up here, it was always been Brian, and Brian always had a lot of patter that, you know, went with it. And he was very funny and not wearing his presidential hat at all, but doing something completely different. And I thought, gee, you know, he's going to be a hard act to follow. But I have to say, Tim did not disappoint.
He didn't, and Brian was going to be the backup person to give Tim a break if he needed it, but he was doing such a great job that Brian and I decided to just let Tim go with it. So he's going to come back again this year to be the auctioneer.
Well, that says you can't argue with success.
Not at all.
No. Nope. Well, this is going to be fun, as it always is. I'm looking forward to the auction. I don't know if I'm going to buy anything, because I never do, but it's amazing how much that impulse suddenly just sort of takes over, whether you intended to or not. There have been a few years where I went in pretty sure I wasn't going to buy anything, and then something caught my attention, and I did.
You never know till the last minute because
that's right.
There are all sorts of surprises.
Yep.
And so if anybody would still like to donate an item, just reach out to me and it'd be great.
Well, thanks again, Nina, for being on the show, and we'll see you in March.
Thanks, Steve, for having me.
If you have items to donate to the auction, you can call Nina at 617-699-4714. Or email her at nina@littlebreezes.com. Something on your mind? Call us on Fillmore, 773-572-6312.
Hello, you've reached the Bay State Council of the Blind.
We'd love to hear from you. Last year, around the time of our fall conference in November, we unveiled our Fillmore messaging system. Here's Bob Hache to show us how it works.
So for those of you that have either read Bay Lines or heard announcements and stuff, we have changed our phone line. What we had before was simply a place where you could leave a voicemail message, and that was about it. And we decided, you know, we're paying pretty good money, and all people can do is leave a voice message. Is there something where we can, A, save a little money, but more importantly, B, have something that gives a little bit more to our members? And we found something that we think is pretty cool, and it's called the Fillmore Boxes. How many of you in the room, show by clapping your hands once, have called into the line? All right, there's a few of you. All right, good, okay. And are you liking what you've found so far? Either yes or no? All right, good. Okay. So when you call the Fillmore line, the number is 773-572-6312, and it is a toll call for those that don't have the unlimited type phone service or that don't have a cell phone. That is really, I'd say, the only drawback to the system. You can press the pound to leave a message. At any time, you can press a pound during in any of the boxes that you're in, or you can go to the following boxes. Box one is about BSCB. Box two is BSCB calendar of events. You'll hear about things like fall conferences and spring conventions and such like that, and other BSCB events. Item three is a community calendar, and that's a wider calendar that is non-BSCB events, but events of interest to blind persons as well as persons with disabilities. You could find something possibly from the DPC in there, or from Perkins, or the Carroll Center, or any number of other places, MAB, places like that. Box four is chapter contacts. Five is news briefs from the board, and that's selected highlights from recent board meetings or activities that the board has been involved with. Number six is a Baylines, and it is a digest version of Baylines. It may not have the whole magazine, but it's got some of it. And number seven is the monthly council connection that Steve Dresser is good enough to do for us every month. And David, if you're ready, why don't we fire up the system?
Hello. You've reached the Bay State Council of the Blind. Thanks for your call. You may leave a message by pressing pound at any time during this message, or choose from one of the following options. One, about the Bay State Council of the Blind. Two, BSCB calendar of events. Three, community calendar. Four, BSCB chapter contacts. Five,
okay. Go ahead and hit three there, David.
Board. Please note, when it
this calendar of blindness community events was last updated on November 16th. It will be updated again later in November. On Thursday, November 29th from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m., the very first official Riders Transportation Access Group, or RTAG, meeting will convene. Join the meeting in order to
now,
hear
David,
directly
tap
from
the
MBTA
two key
General
a couple of
Manager
times.
Ramirez. Watch the signing
key,
of the new
slow
memorandum
the down.
Of understanding between the RTAG
yeah,
and
wanted
MBTA.
To
and meet the nine new executive board members.
And if you've noticed, when he hits the two key,
tour will take place on December 2nd from 1 o'clock to 2:30 p.m. This tour is all about family.
Oh,
this
didn't
is an
work.
All-ages tour.
I thought that would slow the speech down.
Families with children. The gallery tour will be followed by accessible art making.
Oh, okay.
For those who are interested, the tour will be a multi-sensory
no, it worked on the one I tried
related
it.
To families, and will include some
no.
sculptures that may be touched directly. Please RSVP by calling 617-369-3189.
Now, another thing, when you're in
we
one of these boxes, David, hit the zero key and we're going
to
hear a list of commands. You can control the speech.
How many are in your group? The gallery tour will be split into groups.
While listening to a voicemail greeting, the following special keys are available. Press 1 to restart the greeting. Press 2 to decrease the speed. Press 3 to increase the speed, 4 to lower the volume, 5 to raise the volume, 6 for the user directory, 7 to rewind, 8 to pause, or 9 to fast forward. Press the star key to log into this mailbox. Press the pound key to skip the greeting and record a message. Or press 0 to repeat this help menu.
Hit the star, David.
Hello. You've reached the Bay State Council
right.
of Blind.
Let's try option
thanks
7,
for your call.
Which is Council Connection.
You can leave a message
seven.
By pressing pound seven. At any time.
You have reached Council Connection. To leave a message at any time, press pound. To return to the main menu, press star.
Why don't you fast forward past some of that, David, to the beginning of the show?
Press zero.
Fast forward
please
is 9.
Remember that this call was not toll-free and long-distance charges. Good evening. Welcome to Council Connection for the month of November. I'm your host, Steve Dresser.
Okay, and that's pretty much how this works. Thank you very much, David. Let's wait for the mic for Sharon.
Thank you. I had a question that somebody asked me to ask today, and I hope I have this correct. I think the lady was in voicemail or, you know, had left a voicemail and wanted to get back out into the other content of the box.
Yes.
Okay. Can you give that, please?
I can try some. That is a little tricky at times. I've actually failed a couple of times at that one. You're supposed to be able to hit the star key and go back in. And what it may do is it may say enter your box number. And if it does that, hit the last four digits, which would be 6312, and go back inward. Before I figured that out, though, I had to hang up and restart the line a few times, and that may happen to people. That actually happened to me a number of times when we were sort of putting the system through its paces and testing it and stuff like that. But, yeah, if you hit that star key, it will eventually tell you hit, you know, enter a mailbox, and what it means is the last four digits of the box, because there are all sorts of, and you can go, one of the commands, I might be number 6 or something like that, in the main section there, you can learn about different other services that are available on the Fillmore system.
We have another question here.
Okay.
Thank you. If people leave a message by pressing pound, maybe, Chris, you can help with this. I think it's going to ask you how you want to leave it as a private message, correct? Do you want to say a word about that? Because it's confusing to people.
Okay, I'm a regular Fillmore user since 2010. And the best way to leave a message, after you finish, you know, it says press pound to leave a message, you leave your message. Then you press pound to terminate your message. Then the best way to do it, to get it right at the top of the box, is it'll say to, you know, to for special options, press 2. And then you press 1 and 1. What that means is it's a private, urgent message. So it goes right to the top of the box.
Desktop, folder, view, list, view.
If other people have left messages that they just hang up, your message will be first, but because you knew what to do.
I did not know that. Ah. Thanks for that, Chris. And the phone number again is 773-572-6312. Thank you very much, and I'm glad you all are enjoying the new Fillmore system.
And with that, we come to the end of Council Connection for the month of February. If you have any questions or comments about the show or would like to tell us about anything else, please leave us a message in our Fillmore box at 773-572-6312. I'm your host, Steve Dresser, reminding you to register for the spring convention and to join us again in March when we return with another edition of Council Connection. Take care and see you at the convention.